Hey all, welcome. This is the Daily Bills Wire Podcast, and I am your host, Jeremy Uhas. Joining me in a moment is another podcast host from Locked On Bills, Kevin Masseri. But before we bring Kevin on, just want to remind everybody that they can subscribe to this podcast, and we are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all over the place on the web. So make sure you are tuned into each episode, and we appreciate you spreading the news about it and your feedback. We are one day away from the opening game of the 2018 season. Granted, it's preseason game number one. The Bills will host the Carolina Panthers at New Era Field. First time that we're going to see Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds line up as Buffalo Bills in uniform. So we're going to bring in Kevin Masseri now to talk about that contest, talk about the Corey Coleman signing again, and talk about the roster and how it's shaping up as we enter preseason game number one. Kevin, thank you so much for joining me. It's a pleasure to have, a fellow podcast host. Kevin has been doing a great job for a long time, and I know Bills fans know him well on Twitter and out there. Kevin, first of all, thanks for coming on with me, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
No problem. So what's been going on with you this offseason, just kind of tracking the team? I know a lot of changeover with the roster. Just kind of just overall your overhead view and broad view of the season, what the Bills have done so far.
Yeah, definitely. As always, they've had a very interesting offseason with gathering up picks to trading away those picks to acquire the quarterback and linebacker of the future. So that was interesting to see that. I don't know how much they really do value draft picks, as you saw them trade. It is a late seventh, but for Corey Coleman. Mm-hmm. So I think they were really just stockpiling picks for a quarterback. I think you can start at the top. I don't know how much they'll really value him going forward, so that'll be interesting to see if there's another need and if they make another trade. I would just have a head in a swivel for another trade, personally.
Yeah, where do you think, what position do you think they're looking or targeting? I know Shaq Lawson's name's just been thrown out there. They did this last year a lot too in the offseason, just trading guys for picks so that they were stocked for the draft.
I mean, I'm back and forth between, I wouldn't be shocked to see a tight end move.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that I don't, Nick O'Leary's another regime. They have a little bit of liking to Thomas and crew a little bit, but I wouldn't be shocked to see him make a tight end move. I mean, that's the one I'm kind of eyeing on.
Yep.
As players become available.
Sure, and there's been a lot of talk, too, that Brian Daboll's new system, they're trying to, get guys over the middle, and that would seem to scream more tight end usage this year and going forward. I agree, and they've been kind of banged up after Charles Clay this training camp. So
they have been.
Yeah.
So I would look out for that. I don't think, if not, it'd definitely come in the form of a waiver claim.
Sure.
So it's an interesting position group, one that Daboll really relies on. So
yeah, we'll see what happens there. I saw that you tweeted out a little bit ago your kind of first wide receiver projection. You've got Benjamin, Corey Coleman in there, Zay, Jeremy Curley, and then the last few of Andre Holmes and Brandon Riley. Any reason why you think Riley kind of makes that team? I think the other ones are pretty self-explanatory, but maybe toward the end there, having Riley and Holmes make the team?
Yeah, starting with Holmes kind of right there at the fifth receiver, I just have had some intel that they really enjoyed him as a player, as a leader, special teamer. They're really not paying him still too much. I mean, he's only making like $1.9 million against the cap. So I think that offers – their fourth and fifth receivers need to play special teams. So Andre Holmes is just almost a lock in a way unless an injury happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brandon Riley's just another guy that does everything right. He had a year. They groomed him. They kind of got what they wanted him. Now I'm seeing him play special teams. That could be the final thing that he needs to do to be the fifth or sixth receiver on this team.
Definitely. So do you think – there's also been chatter of talked about with the new – kickoff rules and just how special teams is changing. Do you think that they keep maybe more wide receivers than six? Because I can see them with just the plethora of guys that they have on the roster that they may want to keep just one more guy, and maybe if someone like Ray McLeod or can contribute on special teams as a returner, maybe they keep seven or maybe even eight receivers. Do you think that's too much?
I think that this team will, until they really, really nuke special teams, they'll really still put a precedent in receiver being able to play special teams. I mean, they still have, if you look across the roster, you still have a ton of special teams players that are on this roster to play special teams, including needing their third and fourth running backs to be kicking punt returners. So
yeah,
I think that they still really do, you know, their backup linebackers, you can argue, their backup safeties, even their backup cornerbacks in a way. They really put a big premium on being able to play special teams. And I'd be shocked if they kept more than seven. Uh-huh. So seven, I don't see it, but if it was, it would be like a gadget, like a Ray McLeod, a guy I'm not super high on personally.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I love Cam Phillips. He's my guy. He got hurt, and that's going to really set him back. He can't be missing preseason games.
Mm-hmm.
You see it with receiver every year across the NFL. You miss a preseason game or two, your odds are statistically terrible to make a team.
Right, yeah. I mean, you need to get as many snaps as you can. There's not a lot of them that go around, and for sure. Where do you think this team stands at the center position with Bodine and Groy kind of battling out there? Obviously, the quarterback position is big. We'll get to that in a second. But you got to solidify that spot, too. And it seems like Groy might have the edge by some of the reports coming out of camp right now. But something to watch maybe Thursday night as well.
I'd be shocked if Ryan Groy doesn't win the center battle.
Yeah.
Just based on what I know about Groy and how they value him. They gave him a pretty hefty contract as a backup 2 years ago. Making $2.5 million. I think he's 25th in the league at center.
Mm-hmm.
As a backup, very expensive. As a starter, good value. A guy that actually came in and played better than Eric Wood at times. And a guy that Eric Wood says is a staple of this offensive line himself. When he mentioned that to Cover One, in a Cover One article recently. So I think that
I agree.
Ryan Groy is a pivotal part of this line.
And he's got some lower body strength that you see. He can kind of drive guys. I think in this Brian Daboll's, you know, offensive run scheme that he wants to employ, kind of getting back to more of that, you know, run power gap scheme instead of the zone scheme from last year, he kind of fits more of that. And then, okay, so if Groy does end up taking that center spot, do you think Bodine is in jeopardy of, you know, not even making the roster to kind of make room for someone like a DeAndre Wesley or Ike that, or Redmond? You know, I've just kind of heard from McDermott really liking these other guys that are working hard just behind him.
I think that the way it worked out, and you saw it a little bit in practice the other day when Miller went out, was you saw Groy move over to be a starting guard, and I think at that point Bodine would play. So I do really think that he'd be the sixth lineman if he has a really bad preseason and training camp, or end of training camp and gameplay coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's not. I don't think he's a lock by any stretch, but I do think that they do view him as like the sixth lineman on the roster. And you know, interestingly enough, I wouldn't be shocked to see Adam Redmond, the guy that they stashed last year, played a couple of starts in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Guy that they really like at guard and center. They're putting him at center right now. He's one of my guys that I know that they like a lot. So I'd be shocked if he doesn't make the final roster.
And then, okay, we'll get to the biggest question, the quarterback position on the depth chart, obviously listing A.J. McCarron and Nate Peterman as kind of co-first teamers right now with Josh Allen, you know, taking most of the third string snaps at camp. How do you see this battle playing out, or what would you like to see for the team either Thursday and, you know, throughout the rest of this preseason?
I thought it was a really funny depth chart, personally, where they had 1A, 1B, and then blank for
There's
two,
blanks,
and
yeah.
then Josh Allen. I mean, it's truly a 1B, 1A, 1C kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to goof around and not play him with the first team on game one and game two? Yeah, probably. He's not going to get any first team snaps, and most likely in game one, two, and maybe even game three. I think you're seeing him maybe play the whole game in game four, a game that most people write off. But a really interesting game this year for Bills fans to watch, because I think unless he won the starting job at that point, which is unlikely, I think you're going to see a whole game of Josh Allen.
Yeah.
They'll probably announce whichever, you know, guy that they want as their starter, most likely McCarron, and you're going to see at least two or three quarters from Allen and maybe a little bit of Peterman. But a game that's going to be interesting this year. I think you should start day one. I talked to your own Nick Wotan about it on our podcast. I think the stats are with quarterbacks that play from day one. The stats are pretty good that if they start from day one and they're a top 10 pick, the stats are really much in the favor of the quarterback. But as you sit as a top 10 pick, it starts to get worse. It doesn't mean the development can't happen, but I'm a pro start Josh Allen from day one kind of guy.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. I think if he's ready or as soon as he's ready, he should play. But it seems like, especially with McDermott's comments recently, you know, looks like they're going to take their time with him, which is, you know, the approach that they're going to go with. I don't know how.
Alluding to Donovan McNabb.
Yeah. Right. Quoting his time there. And I just think that's so long ago. Like, you know.
Completely different game.
Yeah, it's a completely different game, completely different circumstance. And you're just not getting a whole lot of plays outside of the pocket with a. You're basically starting Tyrod again with less mobility, in my opinion. So why would you, you know, hitch your wagon to that? You know, I definitely think if McCarron or Peterman start off, I would tend to think that by midpoint of the season, Allen will be most likely in the starting lineup. I would think, yeah, at that point.
Yeah, and I mean, to throw a question back at you, if you can't beat out AJ McCarron and Nathan Peterman, I don't know what that tells me about you as a quarterback. I mean, I know you're a rookie. To develop to the NFL system. Nathan Peterman's a sophomore. He's been around. He's a Grizzly vet or anything. He threw 5 interceptions last time he played.
Yeah.
Before getting hurt in a snow game. So I don't know that he's Mr. Veteran guy. And AJ McCarron's another younger player who sat behind Andy Dalton his entire career. Had a little flashes, but really wasn't able to put much together in his brief time as a starting quarterback. Showed some promise, but that's about it. So it's not like he's, you know, going to lose to Drew Brees by all stretches of the imagination. They're fine with that.
Yeah. That's a good point. And then, too, you have the factor of just Dable as the offensive coordinator. I feel a lot more comfortable if Allen were inserted into the lineup of him being protected, but of him just handing the ball off to McCoy, of him not, you know, making things too complicated and the game plan being kind of set up for success for Allen. And that's what all coordinators and all teams try to do each week anyway for the quarterbacks, but it's almost magnified tenfold when you have a rookie potentially starting. And I don't see that as being necessarily a problem. I just see that as being what people do anyway. But you have a good runner in McCoy behind you. You have a veteran tight end and Clay over the middle that you can trust. And as soon as I think he's comfortable, it doesn't make any sense to start anybody else, in my opinion. Like
I agree with you. I agree with you fully. Yeah. I mean, I'm on the same camp. There's still a lot of pro don't play him till like year three type of people.
Right.
I don't really get it.
Like the red shirt thing doesn't make sense to me. I think on the job training is a lot more, gonna be a lot more beneficial for him, even if he does make a mistake here or there.
Again, he just doesn't have a premier quarterback above him. If he did, I think you could change your argument totally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if playing behind a Phillip Rivers or a Matt Stafford, even like a Ben Roethlisberger, you know, guys that, you know, might be toward the end of their career, more like in that regards, even like a Joe Flacco, but he's not really playing behind anything. Right?
Yeah, or even if the Bills decide to sign someone like a Sam Bradford this offseason.
Still, exactly.
Something like that would have been, you can make that argument more for sure. I asked Ryan Talbot this yesterday on the podcast from New York Upsale. Ask you, is there kind of a player on the roster, offense, defensive player, that's potentially a guy that you think could blossom and kind of show up out of nowhere, be kind of an unsung hero this year, not only for the Bills, but just in the league, kind of make a name for himself that you're eyeing?
I've actually thought about this question. I've gone back and forth on it in my own head.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be that guy that jumps out this year for the team? And I think a guy that always, you know, continues to jump out to me, and I think could have a really good year, is Trent Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know if you want to call him an unsung. He was out last year, so
yeah.
There's that. You know, he's out right now as we speak, but he's supposed to be back next week. It's a guy that I could see double digit sacks. I mean, that's kind of. And really becoming a solid defensive end in this league.
Sure.
Continuing that. So, and if you're talking about a guy really under the radar, I mean, I really like, you know, Deion Dawkins.
Mm-hmm.
He's considered a fill-in for Cordy Glenn. A lot of national media still thinks that he wasn't starting last year. He's a name of a guy that I really like. And throw John Miller out there. He's came in and looked great so far in camp.
Good. Yeah, no, those are all three good names to watch. We'll just kind of wrap up this show with kind of the Corey Coleman news. I guess it's the most recent, heading back to the wide receiver position. Kind of a low-risk move. I think a lot of people And the consensus is that the Bills made out really well here bringing him on board. They needed a guy with speed, obviously, at that position where they lacked it. Just first, your kind of overall thoughts on it and what he could maybe bring.
I thought the wide receiver core was, to me, one of the worst in the NFL. It's one that I've wanted to be drafted. I thought that they waited too long in the draft. They waited in the sixth and seventh round to get a couple of players who, to me, aren't even going to make this roster. I think that you did a little thing, one thing well, and didn't possess enough skills to be NFL receivers, and you'll see that as they're probably both going to be practice squad candidates. But I thought the move was necessary. They didn't give up anything of value. I mean, you're talking about a future pick, which is the same compensation as Cardale Jones, so that's essentially what they traded.
Sure.
And I really like the player. I think he possesses 4.35 speed. He's had broken hands, which isn't an injury-prone history to me. It's not like he's had knee injuries, ankle injuries, foot injuries. You have to break your hand. You actually have to fall on it funny. I don't think it's going to be a reoccurring thing. So it's a player you gave up very minimal for. He's a missing part of your offense in that speed game. And he's a guy that's, to me, going to be your number two receiver on opening day, barring something crazy happening.
Right. And a little, like, strange tweet from Adam Schefter earlier about this move, too, you know, saying despite pondering his options, he reported to camp as if he was considering, like, not showing up. And then a couple hours later said that, you know, pondering, I guess, wasn't in his plans and reported, like, he should have after the trade and pass his physical. That was odd. It makes you think where maybe Schefter would have got that information from to tweet that, but that was a little peculiar for him to do that.
It feels like someone else was running his account because he was arguing with himself.
Right.
Like, he might have an intern or someone that turns on his Twitter and kind of runs with him, maybe a piece of information they heard. But by all accounts, from someone I know inside the team said, you showed up at 9 a.m. in the morning, you know, from Cleveland on Monday morning and was getting ready for the team. There was no – might he have mentioned to his team, like his agent, like, hey, if I don't show up, can I become a free agent? I mean, did that conversation happen? I could have.
Yeah.
You know, could I pick where I play instead because they didn't trade me for anything? Cleveland just cut me instead. Could that have happened? I think that's possible.
Right.
But nothing more than, you know, a brief one-minute question to your agent. I mean, he was on his way from Cleveland. He, by all accounts, today showed up and, you know, was signing autographs and said the right stuff and gave articles to the Buffalo News. I think the guy's in the right mindset, and he's a lot to prove. And you can watch him tonight at 10 p.m., too, to get a little insight.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he'll definitely bring an element to the team that they don't have. And you're right, like everything that you said, he seems to be on board and saying all the right things. So we'll see if he plays Thursday. Probably doubtful that he would, if he does suit up, and if he does play a significant amount of snaps. But we'll see definitely throughout this preseason how he can develop with whichever quarterback's going to start. Well, Kevin, thanks a lot for coming on and doing this show. We appreciate you having you on. We'll definitely do this again as we get closer to week one.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I really look forward to future episodes.
For sure. Thanks, man. Have a good one.